Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
What does it look like to boycott a company in the end times? It's a bit of a joke, LOL, but it kind of feels that way, doesn't it? As conservatives are boycotting Target, we find out that Chick-fil-A has announced a new DEI director. And for those of you that don't know, that means a diversity, equity, and inclusion department. And a statement that essentially says that we all need to do a better job of being together. I am not here to announce that I will be boycotting Chick-fil-A in addition to Target for the month of June or any other month, but I do want to have a bigger conversation about these boycotts and what effect they are having. Are they going to work? What if they do work? How do they end? Do they ever end? Do they just go on forever? What if we have to boycott every company? Will we not buy our family food? You know, where does it end? Because I think this is where a lot of us are, we're in the tension right now. And I know I personally am in the tension of wanting to make a difference, wanting to make it hurt for these companies that have moved from just mere promotion of, pride products or LGBTQ inclusion type merchandise, which we see all over. That's literally everywhere. You cannot live in the world without experiencing that, seeing that, and probably supporting that to some degree with your money. I mean, even local grocery stores, right? Like Walgreens. You're not going to get through life without some of your money somehow supporting agendas you don't agree with, even if it's not announced. Even if it's not publicly paraded, it will somehow privately get there, right? But each of us are trying to do our best with, you know, stewarding our resources and what we have and not furthering the agenda of these wicked, evil individuals at these companies and corporations that truly hate Christianity, truly hate God, and have nothing but destruction in mind for our children and our families and ultimately even this nation and the soul. Because, again, as we say all the time, this is a spiritual battle. But I know that a lot of us are feeling the tension of, okay, so I feel convicted to, I finally feel convicted to not shop at Target in the month of June. I've announced publicly that that is how I feel, not for the sake of making anyone else feel that way. I just have been hesitant to jump on that bandwagon in the past because, like everybody else, I shop at Target. It's easy. It's convenient. They have great products. It's affordable. You know, you can get great home decor stuff or kids' clothes, or you can get all the things you need in one fell swoop. And that is what moms value, is convenience, right? And so, of course, it's been challenging, and I have not been quick to say, yeah, I'm going to boycott Target or any other store, really. And yet, I find myself, obviously, at this point with the whole, you know, Satan respects pronouns, the Satanist line that was being promoted, the guillotines, you know, insinuating that there was like a pin with a guillotine that insinuated that, you know, homophobes essentially would receive no mercy, like just very violent, inducing, disturbing stuff, disturbing merchandise, which just, it, you know, a lot of people say it doesn't surprise them, but it does surprise some of us. We're like, wow, we're there. Okay, we are here. Great. Now you're putting all the cards on the table. And more than that, it's like the reality is I didn't boycott Target when they sold rainbow shirts. Everybody sells rainbow shirts. I don't have to buy the rainbow shirt. I get it. You know, you're going to promote, you're going to try to satiate the woke, and I'm going to ignore you. It is this shift from promotion of what our culture has deemed virtuous, you know, inclusion, diversity, equity, blah, blah, blah. It is a shift from just kind of doing what everybody else is doing to now being an activist for the cause, being sold out for this not just liberal but demonic agenda of sexualizing children. Yes, the chest binders and all that, that was last year. That's when Ally Stuckey boycotted. Even then, I thought about it, but I thought, where do I draw the line? I had the same tension, the same question last year, because I knew I can't be 100% consistent. So I guess I won't do that because I can't be consistent. And now I'm at the point where I am convicted that I can at least do this. I can at least take back my probably $600 a month I was spending at Target, and I can at least redistribute that to someone who is not so activist in their cause towards these disgusting and demonic endeavors. Does it mean there's not going to be rainbow shirts there? No, there still will be. I'm sure there's still Pride stuff in Walmart, just like there will be in CVS, where I'll have to get, you know, the types of things that I would have bought at Target. Anyway, my point is just that it's this shift from representation to activism that has so many people now convicted. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with someone saying last year I wasn't convicted, but now I am. We all have different tipping points. That is okay. You are not made right by where your tipping point is. You are made right by the blood of Christ, and we are called to live holy and set apart. And that is going to look a little different for each of us because we're living by a principle, not by a legalistic list of must-dos and must-not-dos. And of course, we've got the Ten Commandments, but those don't say don't shop at Target, right? And so there, it is up to us to interpret with the help of the Holy Spirit in our conscience what that looks like for each of us. And this is why the public school conversation is so big, and the organic food conversation is so big, and the vaccine conversation is so big. They are all places where we are trying to work out our convictions before God with his help, looking at what scripture says, be submitted to that, but also live in a broken and sinful world and doing the best we can. And it isn't going to be perfect, and we are not all going to look exactly alike. Some people have a very hard time with that reality. But as we feel this conviction to not shop at Target for the month of June, which is what I've shared, I feel, and possibly beyond, I think it just, it prompts this bigger conversation of, okay, so what about every other company that is doing the same thing? Well, I still shop at Amazon, or now I'm going to Walmart. Well, you know, they're woke too. They have Pride merchandise as well. So where do I draw the line? Where do I draw the line? And how do I live in a sinful world? How do I live here aware that all of this is going on and yet trying to be faithful to God and to my family, to raise my children up in the way they should go, stewarding the resources God has given me? You know, it's there's a lot of tension here. There's a lot of challenge here. And I just want to say, you're not alone if you are not one of those people on the extreme ends of this. You're not alone. Now, I think it's completely reasonable and great if people want to boycott Target for June or even for the rest of their lives. I think that's great. But what I will say at the same time is it isn't necessarily consistent. And that's okay. As long as we acknowledge that, hey, I know that I can't be 100% consistent because I live in a broken world. If I told you all the companies that are funding abortion or Planned Parenthood or social justice initiatives or that gave money to BLM, like I promise you, you would not be able to live in the world. Some of you even pay your mortgage to these companies, Fannie Mae, that fund Planned Parenthood. So what, should you stop paying your mortgage? Should you sell your home? Should you move into an apartment? Should you put your family in a bad spot potentially just because you don't want to somehow fund an evil agenda? Well, I think most of us would say, well, no, that there's only so much you can do, right? And so in light of that, realizing that this is a spectrum and there is only so much we can do activism-wise, I think it's important that we keep in mind that we aren't turning this into something that is a legalistic requirement, but rather something that we can do out of the conviction of our own hearts, as we are called by God to do so. Okay. And as we are burdened personally of our own conviction on any one of these matters, and as we have the capacity to, right? Because if you're not shopping at Target, where are you shopping? What if, you know, Or if you say, well, I'm not going to shop at Walmart either. Well, then where are you getting those goods? If you live in a small rural town, maybe there aren't any other major stores around you. So where exactly will you be buying all the stuff that your family? And so while I personally am convicted to not shop at Target in June, because I want to make my voice heard. I want to steward where my dollars go. I also recognize that I'm not being entirely consistent by continuing to shop at Amazon or Walmart or any other given place, right? And some of you would say, well, you should be consistent. And that's okay. That might be your conviction to really boycott all those stores. However, I don't know where you're buying your basic essential goods, right? Maybe Costco, but who knows? Tomorrow they could announce the very same thing. They could come out. So it just, for me, it begs the question of, okay, how do I do this in a way that glorifies God and not myself and doesn't become about me or setting myself or my conviction up as a standard for everyone else to meet, you know, a conviction that I have that might be a good and right conviction, but not making this legalistic, not adding to God's word and setting this up as something where a Christian has to abide by it in order to not sin. And if that sounds extreme, I have seen that argument made. I have had that argument made to me in my DMs by people who say, actually, I don't know that this isn't a sin issue. They're basically saying, I think it is a sin issue for a Christian to shop at Target because you're supporting, you know, they use the verse like have nothing to do with unfruitful works of darkness. And they would actually argue that you spending a dollar at Target is you having something to do with those works of darkness. And that's Ephesians 5:11 through 14. I would argue that, you know, taking that verse and saying that means we can't shop at Target, especially when we're not buying merchandise that is, you know, pride related. That's definitely eisegeting that passage and making that say something that it doesn't say in context. In Ephesians 5, we're talking about how to live in community actually with, you know, as believers, as members of the new covenant, we are not to have, we're not to walk in the way that we used to. We are to avoid sexual immorality and impurity and greed and walk separate as God's holy people. And so if you've read Ephesians, the first half of the book is talking about, Paul is describing the mystery of the gospel revealed. And the mystery is that the Gentiles are being grafted in to the Jews. And there is now neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. And so we are all one in Christ. And then the second half of the book is talking about how we should then walk in light of that truth. Having been made, you know, one in Christ Jesus, how do we walk together in community in the different systems of authority structure that Christ has established, you know, worker to employer, wife to husband, child to parent, all of that. And so we just need to be careful not to superimpose our context on that text and say, well, that means don't shop at Target. That is taking our context and saying that that's exactly what that means, when in fact this was written to a specific audience at a specific time, and we need to interpret it in light of those things before we make an application to ourselves. So I see a lot of that happening in the you shouldn't ever shop at Target or you're in sin crowd. I see a lot of eisegesis and kind of making too quick an application to us from certain Bible verses that do talk about that, when we need to be careful to filter our interpretation of scripture through, you know, that rubric. And this is something that I learned to do in Simeon Trust. And I would encourage you to take the Simeon Trust First Principles course for women. If you're a woman listening, they also have one for men, to learn how to really rightly interpret scripture and understand it in light of, like I said, the original audience and the original author's, you know, intended message to that audience. It's not that it isn't for us and that it can't be, that the message is not for us, but it means that how we interpret and apply that message to us needs to be in light of the fact that this was also originally written to someone else in a different time and place. So again, it's not to say we're not taking it literally, and don't think that that is a scripture that is authoritative for us as well. But just keeping in mind, we can't jump so quickly to the application when we take a verse like you know, or a passage like Ephesians 5, 11 through 14 and say, therefore, don't shop at Target, you know? So that would be, again, me imposing my context, my opinion and my view and my conviction on the text and then applying that to you, which is Pharisaical, which is legalism, which is me asserting something that scripture doesn't say and then, you know, making that another hoop that you have to jump through to be righteous. And so I think we need to be really, really careful of not doing that as we have this conversation about convictions. And one of the main reasons being that, again, we live in a sinful world, a fallen world that is not going to, you know, our dollars are not going to be perfectly spent ever in this life. And as much with as much intention as you may have, or you may buy, you know, secondhand clothing to try and not fund those people, you know, who are actually working at with these agendas at corporations like Target. Maybe you're going to go buy Cat and Jack from Goodwill and say, oh, well, I'm not funding them. At the same time, there's just no way to be 100% consistent. Does that mean, though, that we should not be wise with our money? No, I don't think it does. And I think it's completely reasonable to not want to shop at Target in June. And like I said, even ever again, if that's what you want to do. I just think we'd have to be careful not to apply our own conviction and conscience to other people in a legalistic way. And I am seeing some people do that. Now, on the flip side, I will speak to the other end of the spectrum. What I see the, you know, you're just being, this is performative righteousness. You're just being legalistic and this is pietism. Those of you who say you're not going to shop at Target, well, you're always at war with someone and you just like to be at battle and you don't know how to be at peace and you're not seeking peace with God. You're trying to create peace for yourself through your own means and you're working for righteousness, blah, blah, blah. Well, that ain't it either, okay? Because there's a lot of people, me included, who have been saying for years that where we shop, if we are not purchasing things that are somehow causing us to sin, like if we're not purchasing and actually buying the pride stuff and promoting it and putting it on our kids and buying chest binders for our daughters, then we're not in sin by shopping somewhere. And I was one of the first people in my circle, at least, to push back and say, actually, I still shop at Amazon. I'm still ordering. Why? Because I only have so many hours in the day. And it makes me a better mom to not be constantly running out to stores to go buy things and just being able to spend more time with my kids as someone who does work to have more face time with them rather than being having to go out and about and get all the groceries myself. I use Instacart too. I'm sure that they fund certain organizations I disagree with as well. My point being that I've been saying that this, we need to be careful to not be inconsistent here. But it's not accurate. It's not right to say that anyone who is boycotting Target, or Amazon for that matter, or anywhere else is doing so because they think it makes them righteous. Like that's a large claim. I'll just say, to make that kind of, assertion that anyone who's doing this is doing so for the righteousness that they think it gets them, or it's a stamp of approval, or it is a badge of honor. I'm sure that yes, some people are, and to them I would say, you know, you need to be careful that you're not kind of puffing yourself up in pride, that you're somehow walking the higher road or the more righteous and godly Christian, you know, like the Pharisee saying, oh, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like that man, you know, like, be careful of that. But it's also not accurate to say that any brother or sister in Christ who is convicted not to shop there is somehow doing so just because it's like works righteousness or something. Like that to me is you making a judgment on their soul, on their heart and mind, which you cannot know. All you can know is that they're convicted and they say they're convicted not to shop at Target. You can't know their motivation for doing that unless they straight up say, you know, I'm doing this because I believe it makes me more right than others. Well, then yes, that's wrong. But there's a lot of people who are just saying, I've had enough. This has gone too far. I don't feel right about promoting this or supporting this anymore, so I'm not going to. And to those people, you can't that you're actually towing the line of condemnation if you say that you know that person is in sin for doing that, for not shopping at Target. You are towing that line of condemning your brother or sister for their action when you don't know their heart and you don't know what they've sacrificed and you don't know the reasons. The, you know, there's always just so much more going on in a person's life and heart and mind than can even be communicated, and that any one other person can know, like, why they have been brought to this particular conviction or spot in their life that they have. You don't know their history. You don't know how God is working on them. You don't know how God is using them. I want to take a second to tell you about another new sponsor for Kindled, and that is Annie's Kit Clubs. Annie's Kit Clubs are amazing ways to engage in creativity with your daughters. As you know, I have three girls. They love to create. My girls would make arts and crafts all day long if I was game. Sometimes I run out of ideas or I just don't want to get out to Hobby Lobby and go buy one more craft supply. So what I love about Annie's Kit Clubs is that they come with everything you need to encourage your daughter's inner artist and watch her creativity soar. It's created for girls ages 7 through 12. And so the Creative Girls Club offers them a new world of crafting inside each and every single kit. They get two kits per month. So inside, she'll find easy to follow instructions and all the materials that she needs to get crafting with minimal adult supervision. She will learn fun skills that will last a lifetime, including painting, beading, stitching, paper crafting, and so much more. Get 50% off your first month of an Annie's Creative Girls Club box when you scroll down to the show notes and click my link, get signed up today. That's 50% off your first month subscription to an Annie's Creative Girls Club. I know you're going to love it. I have always said that I think it's possible that God would convict us of different things. So I think it is very possible, and not just that, but probable, that God convicts some to say, stop shopping at Target, and others to continue to. Just like he convicts some to take their kids out of public school and others to stay in. And others to stay in as teachers, and or he puts others in positions where they don't have a choice, whether that be a single mom or a woman with a husband who doesn't want to homeschool or do private school, or maybe they can't afford it. And he can convict and create circumstances and scenarios where people have different outcomes in their life and different paths that they walk. And he can use all of that for what? His glory and their good. And when we say, no, he can't, and he doesn't, if he doesn't convict you exactly like he convicted me, you're in sin, you're pietistic, or you're licentious, or you're, whatever accusation we want to make, we set ourselves up as God. When you start asserting that you are now the arbiter of truth, and you are the arbiter of who is in the right and who is in the wrong, and who is doing works righteousness, and who is just trying to be syncretistic in line with the world and match up and mirror what the world is doing, you set yourself up on your tiny little demigod throne and, you know, are seeking to conduct judgment and throw out judgment on others who don't line up the way that you think they should. And so we can't do either of those things. We can't condemn the person who shops at Target or condemn the person who doesn't. And I see that happening on both sides. And again, this is all coming from someone who has both been on the side of saying, I'm not going to boycott things, and is now saying, I am going to boycott in June and perhaps beyond. And I think that that is right and good for me because I'm convicted to do it. I'm not saying that everybody else has to do it, but it's what I feel convicted to do. And it's okay. Here's another thing. It's also okay for me to use the power of persuasive speaking and critical thinking to convince others of my position. That's okay. That's allowed. You're allowed to share your thoughts and say, hey, I think that we should do this without making that a legalistic hoop to jump through in order for someone to be saved. Okay? Like, there's just a huge gap there. You don't have to, you're not stepping all the way off the ledge of works righteousness by saying, I think that we should be wise with our money in this present evil age. And that might look like this, or it might not. But just consider what it would look like for your family and make sure that you're thinking critically about it. That's it. You know, it's okay to convince people of your point of view and seek to do that as long as you are not adding to the gospel or taking away from the gospel. Okay. So I just think everyone needs to calm down a little bit on the, you know, jumping to these extreme conclusions. And again, I see this happening on both sides of this conversation in conservative chatter online. I see it happening on both sides. And it does concern me because it creates division where there doesn't need to be division. There can be agreement that, man, this agenda is disgusting and terrible and wicked, and some of us are going to feel compelled to do more than others. And some of us are going to fight in different ways. I may not be able to boycott Target forever, but maybe I'm able to, you know, whatever, serve in my kid's school or start some program or do a Bible study through with my children and their friends. And who among us would say that that's somehow, no, that's not good enough because you're not boycotting Target? I mean, if you would say that, that's another level of problem. But I think the point here is just, let's not create unnecessary division and divide where there doesn't need to be. And let's recognize that we can each argue for our point of view and perspective as long as we are not adding to or taking away from the gospel. Another piece of this conversation is what I hinted at earlier, and that is just, what do we do when every single store, every single company is promoting in some way, shape, or form, or supporting agendas and policies and things that we don't believe in, things that go against scripture and that indicate hate for God? What do we do in that situation? And what I just want to kind of set before you as something to think about is, depending on your eschatological view, your view of the end times and where we are in those, it's getting worse out there. I think you can look around and you can see that it's getting worse. Now, some of you would say it's going to get better, and so that's why we need to fight against this woke agenda. And others of you, like me, would say, no, it's going to get worse. And so we should expect this. We should expect that we are going to have to learn how to live as exiles in this land, and not as so much citizens, but as exiles. And not to say we aren't citizens, but realizing that ultimately we are first citizens of heaven, which makes us enemies here, right? And so, I mean, just by way of example and kind of demonstrating my point, here is a quote-unquote short list. This is someone I follow shared this short list of several different companies that fund Planned Parenthood. This is not actually a short list. There's 38 companies here, but let me read you some of them. Adobe, American Cancer Society, American Express, AT&T, Avon, Bank of America, Bath & Body Works, Ben & Jerry's, Clorox, Converse, Douche Bank. Am I saying that right? I think. Dockers, Energizer, Expedia, Exxon Mobil, Fannie Mae, Groupon, Intuit, Johnson & Johnson, La Senza, Levi Strauss, Liberty Mutual, Macy's, March of Dimes, Microsoft, Morgan Stanley, Nike, Oracle, PepsiCo, Pfizer, Progressive, Starbucks, Susan G. Komen, Tostitos, Unilever, United Way, Verizon, Wells Fargo. I want to take a second to tell you about a new sponsor for Kindled, and that is SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe is the home security system that my family uses and has been using for years at our home. It is advanced security, faster emergency response, and gives your home protection from intruders, fires, floods, and more. With Fast Protect technology and interactive monitoring, their live agents can capture evidence and verify threats in your home so you can get priority dispatch for faster police response. There is just something that gives me peace of mind every single night when we turn on our SimpliSafe. I can rest easy knowing that if a door is opened or a window is opened anywhere in the house, I'm going to be notified by that system. It gives me tremendous peace of mind, both when my husband is home and when he's away. I cannot imagine living without our SimpliSafe. I don't know how we ever did it before. I guess the world used to be a little different. But today, I think every home needs to have a security system. And what I love about SimpliSafe is it is not expensive to get started, and you're able to add on in incrementally. So you can buy door and window sensors separately. You don't have to do everything all at once. We pay a low monthly fee of $14.99 a month for monitoring service, and we're even able to turn on and off our alarm system when we're not at home through a mobile app. So I literally love everything about SimpliSafe, and I will never change and go to another security system. So if you've been thinking about making that move and just to have that added layer of peace of mind, would definitely encourage you to check out SimpliSafe. Scroll down in the show notes and click the link to SimpliSafe today to get 40% off your initial order. So be sure to scroll down, click that link, go through that in order to save 40% on your order. I mean, on that list are a couple mortgage companies who I'm through, sure many of you, your mortgages are through those companies. I bet most of you have a pair of Nikes in your closet. I bet most of you have one of these providers as your cell phone provider. I bet many of you have bought gas at ExxonMobil. I'm sure most of you have used Clorox cleaner in the past. I'm sure many of you have Adobe programs on your computer like I do that I use for work. You know, my point is just that we cannot be 100% perfectly consistent, okay? A lot of you probably have Bank of America accounts. Now, they just are a terrible bank, so I'd encourage you to leave if you do. But my point is, again, we cannot be 100% perfect here. And I think it's wise, it's great to know this and avoid them as much as we can, keeping in mind that that as much as we can is going to look different for everyone. And that's where the conviction comes in. And that's where we need to not add legalism to people and requirements to them. Okay. So that's certainly, I just want to make that really clear. I am all about being wise with my money. I want to be wise. I don't want to contribute to these evil agendas. That's not my heart. That wasn't my heart last month when I went in Target. And that was after the chest binders. That was after the bathrooms. Like, I've seen a lot of people say, well, I've been doing this for 8 years, or I've been doing this since the bathroom deal. Like, why are they just now getting all outraged? Why haven't you been outraged sooner? If you had, maybe it wouldn't have gotten this bad. But I think that is, in my opinion, putting a little too much emphasis on the power of man, a little too much emphasis on what change we are able to enact, and not giving enough space for conviction. Well, I didn't, because I wasn't convicted. Now, some of those people would say, well, do you think that God convicts all people at all times of their sin at the same time, right? And no, because there are a lot of people living in sin who won't be convicted for a number of years. And then later they will, and they'll come back and go, wow, I was living contrary to God. And so I grant that, yes, that's true. There are people who don't have the conviction, but it doesn't change the fact that it's wrong. However, this is one of those issues, in my opinion. There are those who would disagree, but this is one of those times where we actually can't say categorically it is sin for you to shop in Target. Now, the time it is sin for you to give money to any one of these companies is if you're convicted to not do so, and then you do anyway. Now, that would be then going against your conscience, right? But if you're not convicted, and it's not, or it's not possible, if you've considered it and you've looked at it and you've determined with your husband that, look, this is what it looks like for us to be faithful with what we have, to do the best we can with what we have, whether that be our finances, with our children, our time, all of the things, taking everything into consideration, landing somewhere and trusting God with the rest, trusting God that He is sovereign, that everything is working out according to His divine plan, and that we are not powerful enough to thwart that. We are not powerful enough to ruin everything. And so I don't know. I know this is a controversial conversation, and I know that there are a lot of opinions and experiences and thoughts on both sides, but my desire is to see people avoid either of the extremes where they fall too far into the side of demanding everyone live according to their conscience, or else you're in sin, or to the other side of accusing those who do live according to their conscience of doing so for malicious reasons, and thereby saying that they're in sin. And so I just think, you know, we don't have to do that. We don't have to fall to either one of those extremes and just be nasty, like so many that I'm seeing online from behind their, you know, little keyboards, the bravery that comes through their fingertips to say to their brothers and sisters in Christ, who I guess they would maybe say are not their brothers and sisters if they're that outspoken about it. That's not God glorifying. And that is unnecessary division and dissension in the body that doesn't need to exist. I think argue for your point of view with grace and love, recognizing that the gospel is the gospel and you can't change that. And you can't take that away from someone because they don't live according to your conviction. So I don't know. I guess that's all I have on that. And I'm curious to know what your thoughts are. I guess the other thing I was going to say was when I was talking about eschatology, as if you believe that it's getting worse, then we should expect that actually ultimately there is going to be nowhere left for us to shop that we can't support an evil agenda, right? And it's going to be impossible for us to, you know, buy and sell in such a way, to interact in the marketplace in such a way that we aren't forced to compromise in some way with our dollars. And so with that in mind, I would just ask the hypothetical question, if there was nowhere for you to buy food for your family, and let's say you hadn't been proactive to start a garden in your backyard, because I've heard that argument too, start your garden. If there was nowhere and you had to feed your children and you needed food and everywhere you could buy that food was going to compromise your dollars and they were going to somehow support that agenda, are you telling me that you would not let your children eat, that you would let them starve? Are you really telling me that in that situation, it would cease to be sin for you to go shop at Target or your local Walmart or whatever, and it would be okay in that situation? And maybe you are. Maybe that is what you would say. But I like to look at, does this argument hold up in all circumstances at all times? Because when we look at the Bible's definition of sin, it is not this like subjective thing that depends on your circumstances. Sin is, can be defined. Sin is black and white. Sin is always a matter of the heart. And it often works itself out in our actions, but it starts in the heart. And so what I would say is that we need to be careful that we're not taking our circumstance and then deciding what sin is based on the circumstance, that we are remembering that sin is something that has, permeated our world and even our own flesh, and that it starts in the heart and it moves out from there. And so it is not so much, it is not always what you do, but how you do it. And 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So, you know, not to be too hyper spiritual here, but let's say you were not convicted to boycott Target beyond June. I just believe there is a way for Christians to do what they do that is not sin, but maybe is against the conscience of other Christians, in such a way that it brings God glory, and, you know, grows the kingdom. And I think that we are going to find ourselves in a world very shortly where there's virtually nowhere for us to shop that is not going to cause us to have to support things we don't agree with and believe in. And in that time, in that, if that were to happen, we have to, again, where is our hope? Is our hope in activism here or changing this world? No, our hope is in Christ alone and the power that he has to change hearts and minds and transform them, bring them from death to life. And even if we can't conduct the kind of activism that we would like to, because we have to get our families food, he is sovereign. He is good. He can use our Target trip to bring glory to himself. He can use our interaction with cashiers or people in those places to be salt and light. He can use us. And so again, this isn't an apologetic for still shopping at Target. It's not about that. It's just about the bigger conversation of, who do you think is ultimately in charge of the outcome? What is your hope in? And are you adding or taking away from the gospel in a way that does not bring God glory, to ultimately kind of bring yourself glory? So, I've said a lot on this. I do want to know what you guys think. And I think, it's helpful to talk through this with other Christians and just ultimately, more than anything, come together in agreement that God is on his throne, that everything we do should bring glory to God, that If we are not glorifying God with our lives, regardless of where we shop or what we are doing, as long as we are not in sin, categorically sinning against God, there's just a lot. I think that we can have grace for each other and understand where each other are coming from and encourage those to hop on board who are feeling the same way we are, while extending grace and understanding to those that may not be feeling that way yet, and recognizing that we are one in Christ. And so again, like that Ephesians 4-6, like I was talking about earlier, how do we live in community? How do we live as the body of Christ? How do we live differently than the world does? Having been grafted in to the body, having been made one with each other and leveled at the foot of the cross, how does that change how we are going to interact on these tough topics and conversations as we sit here hurtling towards the end of America, you know, as we know it? How do we live differently? And so, yeah, that's just my heart to share with you guys. And I hope that's helpful and encouraging. All right. Have a great rest of your week.